Welcome to Ever Beyond, 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 on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond, beyond. August the 4th, 2013, Ever Beyond, welcome. Sisters and brothers, what a week it's been. And the other night, I was talking on a show and somebody said, I've had so many phone calls this week from loads of friends and everybody's going through their personal hell this week. And somebody picked me up on it and so I'm talking about, you know, heaven and hell being constructs and all that stuff. So I then said, actually, no, they haven't been going through hell, they've been going through purgatory. And I thought, well, what a good topic for this evening's show. So tonight I'd like to speak about purgatory, what I think it is. I'd also like to hear from you what you think it is. I've asked a couple of people, and I'll be bringing them in during the show. And seeing what their view is, but I first want to just kind of lay it out, really, where I've been at, and without revealing names and specific processes, where other people have been at. I mean, I'm not joking. I must have had at least 6 conversations in one evening, and everybody's talking about the same kind of thing going on. Yet expressing in a completely unique and personal, individual kind of way. Oh, so let's start with how does it all start? I think it must have happened a few days before this kind of big Star of David thing. Maybe it's about this Star of David thing, because what I'm feeling is that it's not a terrible thing. Purgatory is not a bad thing. It feels bad at the time, but as they say, it's all good. I believe purgatory is from the root of purgation and purge, and it is actually a purging of the negative stuff that we may have lurking around in our subconscious and causing us to behave in possibly less than sociable ways. For instance, those of us who've got histories of abuse may express that in a more naked way, or may have expressed that in a more naked way this last week. Things have become a lot. Yeah, it's actually, yeah, naked is the thing. People are becoming less guarded about what they say, being less polite. There's less time, it appears, to be polite. There's less pressing. There's less space. Let's put it that way. It's more pressing. Everything is very pressing. There's pressure going on all around. The pressure is increasing, and we are experiencing that pressure squeezing out our stuff like a boil, like an old shrapnel wound. I was listening earlier, there was a friend of mine, he has shrapnel wounds from a grenade going off in the Falklands War, and every so often this thing, kind of little piece of metal, works its way out through his skin. And that is purgatory. I mean, it doesn't feel good. It's itchy. But once it's over, once it's broken, it's coming up. It's ejected, and then it has a chance to heal. So, a lot of us run around trying our best not to make this happen, not to allow this to happen, not to allow our stuff to come to the surface. Well, because stuff is smelly and stinky and antisocial, and you don't want to put stuff on people. But people do. People share their feelings. People express the abuse that has been expressed to them, which was expressed to the people who abused them in the first place, and so on all the way back. Where did it start? Who knows? But we've all received programming over our lives. Some of it conscious and deliberate, some of it sort of accidental, sort of organic mind control. You know, there's the deliberate stuff, like the whole church business and all that stuff. But also the little old wives' tales that make you ill, that basically put you into fear. All mind control is basically things that put you into fear when a certain key trigger comes up, and which forces you, you know, away from something or towards another thing. That's the sort of basic behavioral logic of it. So we are faced with our stuff. I've been faced with my stuff this last week as well. The weather's been relatively, it's been raining a bit and not too unpleasant, but I've spent a lot of the days just kind of curled up in a ball somewhere and sobbing, but it's all good. And a lot of people this week have been reporting exactly the same thing. Ocean of tears. Lots of people are saying things that they should have said years ago are now taking time to come out. Good things as well as bad things, I suppose. So, purgatory, purgation, purging. A few months ago, I had an experience. It was my own stupid fault. But I got food poisoning. I spent the next 24 hours in purgatory. For some reason or other, known only to my higher self probably, with the earworm in my head of the song by the Eagles, Take It to the Limit, while I was being very, very sick. That was a very odd period of time. And I remember sort of staring into the great white telephone, thinking, well, this is an experience. I was thinking in my head, well, look at this, we're having an experience. This is an experience, isn't it? I said, yeah, right, okay, great, yeah. You like that? Yeah. So, there are energies that are coming into us. Energies that I'd like to call our higher selves. People call them other things. But since the universe is all ourself, our higher self is simply the rest of the universe behind the part that expresses itself as us, you know? Oh, good evening, View. So, purgatory. Purgatory. It's been a very interesting time, and part of purgatory is to come back down through the layers, through the what I've been doing personally is I've been looking down my timeline and looking for all the times that I've been traumatized, and basically forgiving the situation, forgiving whoever appeared to be a perpetrator. It's all good, you know, it's all a lesson. And if it's good, it's good. If it's not good, well, it's a lesson. So it's all good. So I went back and back through my timeline, doing all what I needed to do. And when I got kind of, I suppose I felt like I'd kind of gone past the time of my conception time. And so there I was. And in my mind's eye, my perception, I saw this kind of thing, this kind of little thing poking through. And I, in my mind's eye, I grabbed hold of it with my mind's hand, presumably. And it was kind of slimy and rubbery, stretchy kind of thing. And it was hard, but I held on really tight to it. I pulled it out, and I pulled it all the way back into my present moment, or my ceremonial moment, wherever I was, because there was a fire next to me when I came out of this thing, came out of my timeline, and I threw this thing in the fire. But it was like a plant. It sort of had the base was a bit like a leek. You know, it was like a broad, sort of like a bit of a fruit size of thing, something about the size of a large cantaloupe, small watermelon, that about that sort of size. And then its surface was like that of an artichoke. It was kind of like scales, and then there was this long stem, rather a bit like a red hot poker, like it's a long stick with a kind of bulbous end, and that's what I managed to grab hold of it with and pull it out. And I found that a very interesting thing. I'd never heard of anything like this before, but afterwards I felt a whole lot clearer, a whole lot cleaner. Part of me has a feeling that it's like a tapeworm. Because the timeline just did have a sense that it was like an intestinal tract. It had that kind of quality. It was like, you know, soft and smooth on the sides, and that when I pulled this thing out, it was like I was pulling something out of an intestinal type tract. And something told me it was kind of like a virus, but it was huge, but you know, that was my perception of the thing. And of course we're talking about a timeline, which, you know, how big is a timeline, how wide is a timeline? And and so since then I've had a very interesting relationship with the earth. It's completely opened up my relationship through my base center, through my sense of myself. It's been quite an interesting week. But that was the end of it. The middle of it was the whole kind of, you know, fetal position business. So it would be very interesting to compare notes on how's everybody's week of purgatory been. You can call in on the telephone on 1-775-657-5973. Oh, is that in my jingle thing? Let me just see. No, I haven't got it in the jingle thing. That's a silly thing. I should have that in the jingle thing. I'll make sure that I'll have the jingle thing. I've got this one in the jingle thing. Yeah, I got that one in the jingle thing. That was quite fun. I haven't got the telephone number, which is 775-657-5973 if you're calling from the United States or Canada. If, on the other hand, you're talking from the UK, then I'd advise using Skype to call me. And you can call into wolfspirit.switchboard. That's wolfspirit.switchboard. That will get you through into my second computer here. And yes, yeah, what am I talking about? It was a weird thing. Yes, so it's about a week ago we were talking with Katie Galanti. Some of you heard the show sort of halfway splattered across the airwaves this afternoon. There were ideas, and it's an interesting thing that happened. Looking down this timeline, you know, I don't know what a timeline looks like, but somehow I kind of pictured myself going down this thing. I suppose in a way I could say that was like it may have been traveling down a Eustachian tube or something like that. I was just thinking about that, maybe. Because, like I said, you know, how do you know how big this thing is and what is your position before conception? Is you're down somewhere in there. So, anyway, maybe there was, you know, some virus going on in there. Interesting. I wonder what that's about. Anyway, so having cleared that and now starting to walk around, you know, things start to make sense. And I'm seeing people have been busting up this weekend, this last week. So many groups have been slinging mud at each other, or also trying not to sling mud at each other, trying their best to do this in a very adult and responsible way, and not to sling mud at each other, yet at the same time saying, you know, I'm not having anything to do with these people anymore. So that's been a bit of a theme in the last few days. So let's just see anybody would want to join me. I was going to speak to Tracy at some point, so that would be nice if she's around. Let me see. Right, I'm going to call her, because this is what happens, and it always happens with Tracy. But she may be maybe listening to the show, so hopefully I've had enough preamble for her to hear. Hey, Tracy, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Jay.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm feeling a lot better now. It's been a bit of a week, hasn't it, my dear?
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, and for most people that I'm talking to, they're feeling it one way or another.
Yeah, so I mean, you've got loads of friends. You talk to loads of people. I've got, you know, me too. And you know, the barometer is shooting up to the top. It's, you know, it's breaking the glass at the top. What's been happening in your world?
Well, from what I've heard, other people being challenged by some of them are clearing out, like you said, things from their past, maybe things that were buried and not dealt with, that are coming out, and you're having to look at yourself in the mirror and see all the things that maybe people were doing and not knowing why they were doing it, and what were the influences in it. You know, some, yes, the programming, and some just many other things, you know, and I too have been dealing with that myself, you know. All kinds of memories that I had buried from my childhood just came rushing to my face. And, you know, way putting purgatory, and that's kind of the first meaning of that place. It was supposed to be where you went to purify yourself before entering the gates of heaven.
So.
And maybe we're all going through that.
Exactly. Maybe this is also what the event is.
Yes. The Great Purging.
Oh, I've got a shiver from that. I don't know how to see if anybody else gets a shiver from that. Yes, the Great Purging. And sorry, I just looked at my page and it's like, follow my page and get time off for Catholicism.
I put that in there. Yes. the Vatican has released a couple weeks ago that don't worry about purgatory so much. They are now letting you pay for indulgences like they've always done by following him on his Twitter account. And if you watch certain TV shows, then that counts too. And I guess you get some time off of purgatory. Because the Vatican court that decides this, believe it or not, I didn't even know there was one. Vatican court decides who's going to purgatory for how long.
Do yourself a solid and follow my tweet.
Yes. Hey, follow the Pope's tweet, and you don't have to stay in the said purgatory. But I thought in the 60s they said there was no purgatory. When did it come back?
Well, I don't know. I mean, to me, I'm not exactly a follower of Catholic doctrine, I was kind of using it in the purgation, as you meant it in the other one. But yeah, there's a lot of doctrine, a lot of dogma. Actually, my favorite film ever is Dogma. Have you seen that? Yeah. With Alanis Morissette as God. what could you do? You can't get better than that. But it just shows how they're caught up within the materialist rules and regulations and illusion that the whole thing really is, you know. Yeah, how is it possible to fool God? Joking, I think,
yeah. Yeah, well, you know, if there is a God,
yeah,
I think everything wouldn't be fooled so easily, and I had planned it all, so, you know, but the purgatory thing, how you're mentioning it, 100% agree that we are all going through a cleansing phase right now, you know, as I was saying in the room, not I, but I. JP, I was just writing out demons I've known in my life, some significant points where dark forces infected my timeline. Think exposure of the mind parasites, plus our own individual work of clearing. And that's what's going on with me.
And that's I-E-Y-E in the chat room. And yeah, exactly. Exposure of the mind parasites. It's about the it's about getting back to that original programming. What's called programming, but what is in reality trauma, and an unwholesome healing from that trauma, or non-healing from that trauma, unhealed trauma.
Yeah, and it's the time for all of us, right? You know, our planet is stretching her wings a little bit too, so we're all going through this, and we have to, because, you know, the air is dirty, the water's dirty, there's so many things that we have to clear out. And, you know, as you were saying, and Dale had been saying, you know, it's time that we take stock of what's in our life, what's important, and what's not doing us any good. And if it's not serving us, we need to get rid of that, those things.
That is a very good description of what purgatory is.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Things that are not serving us. Things that don't serve us. What is it? What does exactly that mean? Well, things that are wasting our time. People that phone you up and talk to you and talk to you and talk to you and talk to you, and you start talking to them, and then they have to go. You know, people like that, little energy vampires. And you'll find that they may have, in your experience this week, they may have exposed themselves to be what they are in front of you, just so that you can see, and you can say, ah, thank you very much, bye-bye.
Yeah.
That's discernment and discrimination, brothers and sisters. Exactly.
Absolutely. You know, nothing can hide anymore. We can, many of us are seeing the veil lifted, perhaps not in the way we thought it would be, but we're starting to see things as they are. And, you know, Dale in the room was just mentioning the upcoming false flag. And, oh, you know, they've been wanting this to be... They wanted the race war. They didn't get that. They're probably pouting about that one. And now they're trying to get everybody to hate Africa and the Middle East again.
You know,
as many things they throw to us, we're ignoring, yeah?
You know, from what I understand, they used a big program, a big computer program, to plot all these different possibilities out, and they use this to like decide what to do next. But it really, really, really can't cope with the way that humans do things in an asymmetrical manner. They don't do things often for the reasons that you think they do them, and will often do them in a different way because of that reason. Basically, people are unpredictable. You know, there's no accounting for taste, you can't really, really, really classify people and predict what's going to happen. However, there's great possibilities that may be pushed in certain directions. If you turn the fan on, there's likely to be a wind. They use their technologies to help these things along, like storm that they used last year, wasn't it? Was it last year? Was that Hurricane Sandy last year? Don't know. It's all been a bit of a blur. It's just like disaster after disaster after disaster, getting more and more every day. Anyway.
Yes.
And you know what it feels like? It feels like it's coming up to that point, like I was saying, you know, the point when that piece of shrapnel comes to the surface of the skin and it's all bleeding and gory and but it's out and it looks horrible, but it'll heal. And it does heal. And it's the first it's the necessity for that thing to happen, for it to heal. There's no other way that piece of shrapnel is going to come out of your body except the way that it does. And exactly the same process happens within the psyche of the human race. And I think that's what's coming on now, because we're having fresh, new spiritual material coming in from the galactic center. And that's kind of pumping us up from the inside. And it's causing us to squeeze all this stuff out that's coming to the surface. It's an odd thing. But I think that's what it means. You know, that's what ascension means. It means like glowing from the inside and squeezing all this stuff out. So it's just natural. It's just going to happen. And I think the best policy is to just allow it to be, allow it to happen, and be as honest with yourself as you can. You know, if it's dark, then, and you know, it's horrible, well then, you know, stop. At least you've stopped you know, you can start apologizing and move on.
Well, you know, we can rail against it and get angry.
Yeah,
you can. But that isn't to help the situation, right?
That's right. That's right. I mean, you can rail at the sea, but the tide's still going to come in.
That's right. And, you know, the people that are out there not listening and not looking around themselves, you know, they're going to stay in their own blindness if that's what they choose to do. And for myself, and I realize I'm usually pretty short-tempered with certain things, and I am just that way. We can't do anything to make them see themselves, but it's nice that we're starting to at least recognize them for what they are, you know, their blindness. And when they're energy vampires, and so many people are, and that was a really good, interesting point you made, because people feel so lost and alone that instead of bonding with someone else or experiencing a relationship where it's give and take, where sharing and building a stronger energy by our conversation, people try to steal from each other. It's like we're starving and people grab as much as they can as quickly as they can rather than sharing. It's like even relationships have become more predatorial and another feeding frenzy.
So it was perfectly explained in the Celestine Prophecy. Did you ever read that book?
I sure did.
I saw the film actually only recently. I recommend it. You can get it online. It's probably on YouTube. The Celestine Prophecy, and it was talking about this. It's these four archetypes of how people and families survive. You become one of a pair of opposites. So there's the inquisitor and the aloof. One produces the other. So the parent that has that is an inquisitor produces an aloof child, for instance. And it becomes reflected all the way down. So aloof people produce inquisitors and inquisitors produce aloof people. And what was the other one? Can you remember the other one? No? Okay. There's an inquisitor.
It's like kind of thing.
Say again?
It's like you boost your opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's these... I got my microphone. James is talking about stopping the tide. So the four archetypes. There's the inquisitor. So there's somebody who kind of constantly asks questions, and it's the sort of questions that you know they already know the answer to, and what they want you to do is to go, well, I guess I was wrong then. And of course that's the battle, you know. I will never admit that I'm wrong. How dare you?
And with judge?
I'm sorry?
Was one the judge?
One's the judge.
Oh, but man. That could have been.
Yeah, because
it's a long time I saw it.
Yeah, the Inquisitor is, Oh, no. Help me out, people. Which is the one? I'm gonna have to look it up and check out Google or something. But basically, what they were talking about are these four archetypes, and it's the way that brothers and sisters suck each other's energy off. You know, one's aggressive and one's passive aggressive, and there's that dynamic as well. And then each one is a product of you know, one of each of the four, or two of each of the four. And so that's how we survive in our communities, by expressing those same archetypes. But we are still a broken archetype, so it's a survival situation. It's not a natural organic wholesome human behavior, which is what we're getting, like the green monster and the scientist. Yeah. You won't like me when I'm I was going to say, you won't like me when I'm being rude. Because that's what I saw Hal say. I'm not being rude, you're just insignificant. That's a classic. Who is that lovely lady talking? That lovely lady talking is Tracy Kennedy, host of Turtle Island News and Trace Elements, to be found on Flagship Radio and turtleislandnews.info. So it is. Do you do readings?
Myself?
Yeah.
No. Rarely. You've heard me do it, but it's a very rare thing. yeah. for me to do readings.
Those of you who are interested in Tracy's readings, go back. Go back all the way through the sands of time, all the way back to 2011.
In the New Year's together.
Yeah, we did a New Year's thing, and then it was my birthday, wasn't it? I can't remember if it was my birthday, 2011 or 2012. I think it's 2012. And you did some readings, and you read other people, and then I indulged myself by playing all my music all night. That was quite fun.
that was a lot of fun. I do them sometimes, but it's a rare thing.
So, purgatory, yes. Digging down.
Time of the cleansing.
Have you come across any of this stuff in any of those ancient grimoires that you've been reading by candlelight in those dusty old halls?
Yes. I've been reading the Emerald Tablets of Thoth lately and putting them up. People have been asking me to read to them, so I'm now providing bedtime stories if you want that. But they talk about this cleansing rituals and how you always have to face a demon one way or another. If you want to call it a demon, that's fine. If you want to call it looking at yourself, we've been thrown in all the religions and it looks very similar to me. There's a good guy, there's a bad guy, and then you have to please one or the other one, and then you get the pat on the back and you apparently
you get
the prize.
Yeah, you get the badge or the medal.
You get the super secret badge that says you are now a worker of God. But I think most of us know that there are times in our lives where we feel slow and not as well as we could, and that we always have to do a cleaning, a cleansing of some kind,
Well,
juicing or changing or meditating. And we have to do these things, and I think the majority of us in this last week have felt that need. And some are still rolled up in a ball in the corner, rocking back and forth, sucking their thumbs. And I embrace that. I understand how you're feeling.
Can you tell me? I mean, it's really, I can't remember. I can't count the number of people who've been experiencing that level of, well, actually, it's a good thing as well, because it means that we're all going back to those early days and finally dealing. Because here's the thing, that first split, they say the first cut is the deepest. Yeah, it is the first split, and it's the thing that prevents you from being whole. It's the, so if you can heal that, then maybe you have a chance of healing all the rest of it. It kind of like a zip.
Yes.
So the first cut being the deepest, going back and healing that will seal you against any outside influence. Because it's the first point of doubt. It's the first time you've doubted yourself. I think I've always had this thing, that original sin, they talk about original sin. And to me, the original sin is doubt, is the doubt of the self. And then that goes over to having faith or giving authority to someone else, doesn't it?
Yeah. 100%. And that's what I've been doing, is going back and remembering when I was my most healthy, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, all of those things. Before I was corrupted by school and education and all of the 10,000 billion other things that happen. Just on that level, if you can remind yourself or remember that time in your life, and then kind of walk back up and see where the breaks were. And, you know, when you were talking about timelines with Dale yesterday, and of course there's multitudes of them, but we have to realize that these are markers on our own personal timeline in this time, where we could have gone one way, could have gone the other, that maybe something damaging that happened to us or said to us or done to us changed where we were heading, and it made our own little right-hand turn. So we have to go back and straighten that line by dealing with each one of those kinks.
I've been watching Fringe. Have you seen Fringe?
I love Fringe.
Okay, so I'm in the middle of the third series. And the last show that I saw, which I think was a couple of nights ago, the last show that I saw was almost exactly this situation. And what it was, there was a man on the... There was a serial killer. And he, of course, killed 23 people. It's always 23. There's always a 23 in every sci-fi film. Just watch out for the 23 in every sci-fi film. It'll always be there. So there was a man who had killed 23 people, and what he would do was... it was really gory, you know, put a little thing in the back of their head and basically suck their joy out of them. You know, it's like with this machine, and enjoy their joy vicariously because he didn't have somebody. And they in order to find this person, they brought his, our world, our side of this dimensional split. The guy from this side who had a woman who loved him and had turned into a forensics professor instead of becoming a serial killer. And scenario turns out that the this guy turns out to become a victim, and he sucks out that experience of this loving woman. And right at the end, the guy's saying, you know, who is this person you're talking about? Who's Marjorie? You know, who? But a few seconds later, he came out with something that Marjorie said. So the memory had been removed, but the imprint remained, like homeopathy.
It changed him.
Yeah.
I think I saw that one. I'm sure I've seen them all.
Yeah, it's series 4, second episode of series 4, I think. So it was a really, and it was about this. It was about what is the imprint that produces the choice, and it's, you know, in this one, obviously, it's about love. I mean, the whole series is about love. To me, the whole nub of this thing is the love between Peter, on who's originally from the other side, being in love with Olivia from this side. And that's the big problem, because they're from two different universes. This is Romeo and Juliet, but I mean, set into a kind of hyperdimensional cosmic super soldier setting.
Yes. I felt the love in that. The whole story of him reconnecting with his father and getting that relationship back where they could speak to each other and be friends again, and the whole thing, and incredible, cool sci-fi that's possibly all real. It was a combo platter of coolness.
Absolutely. And you know, we see this scientist, right? This scientist, he's a paperclip guy. You know, he is I don't know if he's exactly Mengele. You know, I don't know what he was like, but he was very, you know, he seemed to be a sweet old man, and yet in his, you know, 30s and 40s, as a brilliant scientist, he was experimenting on children and doing unspeakable things by giving them drugs and terrifying them and doing all this stuff and modifying their minds. And you know, we see that you know, a lot of the stuff that is talked about on Wall Street Radio is expressed in this series. It's fascinating.
Very much so. You know, we'll come up with this supposedly new technology. You know, I'll find some archaic little book talking about it and then say, wait a minute, I did see that on Fringe.
Yeah, that's right. It's like looking for a new joke, and it's been on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
The Simpsons have had all the jokes ever. Yeah, they sort of monopolized the whole humor angle. So, yes, purgatory. Squeezing it all out for the good of the planet. You know, because, you know, when you squeeze stuff out, it does make the place grow better. It makes you feel better. It makes everything go round. And if you hold it in, it causes a blockage. It's like somebody sitting on a pile of money when they should be spending it into the community. You know? Somebody creating a reservoir of water when it could be flowing in the river. So, Walter, that's right. Walternut. So, So what we were getting back to was the decision of becoming a good person or a bad person, depending on really the opportunities of love that they may have been able to receive in their life.
Absolutely. And are we not all being, in one way or another, dealing with those things, looking at our choices, seeing what's changed?
Yeah. And sorry.
Sorry, Jay. We've got that.
Yeah, there's a delay, and you've already started saying something by the time I've said something. So, yeah. So, do go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, you know, it's what we're all going through right now. And, you know, we're having to look at ourselves. We're having to go back our own timelines and fix the things that were broken, that maybe took us off our path or led us in completely different directions. But if we change not because of good things, but because of bad things, and carry those bad things with us in our bodies, our minds, our souls, spirit, whatever you want to call it, we have to fix those things. And it's painful. It's like your friend with that first an abscess, then, you know, the metal, the shrapnel will start coming out, and it's painful and it's awful. But when that's out, he's better.
Yeah.
But there's always first.
Yeah, and I think this is the essence of this whole thing, you know, like the whole British institutional paedophile scandal that sort of burst out last year. It's something that's really taken the public by surprise, but it's just the tip of the iceberg, and it's going to, you know, come out more and more and more and more and more until we see that the whole thing is rotten to the core. Ooh, I should record that. Anyway, we'll see that, you know, there's really no, first of all, no use for government, beyond that, they're actually sort of intentionally causing harm, so we really don't have a use for them. You know, it's more than useless. It's more than a chocolate teaspoon. It's worse than a chocolate spark plug. It's worse than a chocolate fire guard. They are not very useful at all. So that's what we need to get the idea that, you know, we don't need anybody governing us. What's a governor? What is a governor? Something that slows us down. It draws our energy off. What does that mean? It's vampiring our energy. Do we really want to have a leech attached to our life? Our life energy, our life blood? Imagine what would happen if we could just naturally circulate the energy within our communities, rather than it all being sucked off by some entity that says it has the rights to do so. What a stupid idea. Wouldn't have that on my planet. How about on yours?
No, I wouldn't have that one.
So, we're coming up to towards the top of the hour in a second, and I've got, you'll love this one. It's, you know, Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush. Do you remember that song that they did?
Walk That Road?
Don't Give Up, yeah.
Give Up, yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. It's quite an epic tune as well. It's like we've got four different musical styles in the one track. It's lovely. Anyway, so and this is what we have to do. Really, in a way, yeah, that's what it is. It's very much. You may have heard it in some of the meditations that I've read out, but it's this. They stand and rest, and within the swirling forms they stand. They look not here or there, but with their eyes focused on the light, they stand. And amidst the whirling, swirling forms, some of despair and some of horror. But they just stand. They just watch everything. And it's basically, people who witness. You know, the world needs to be witnessed. Everybody needs a witness. This is something I've also noticed this week, is that, you know, people call up other people. And it's really important, if you're given this honor, really, to witness somebody's exposure. You know, it's and again, we're going back to the whole Catholic thing of the confessional. I believe it's a very important exercise that they've kind of monopolized and hijacked. But really, you know, it's like some people you can't say everything to. You can't say everything to your friend. Your friend has got stuff. You know, it'll trigger their stuff, so you don't say it to them. But there's got to be somebody that you can just kind of lay it all out to, just kind of express, and that's what people have used the Catholic priests for. But now we realize that they're all corrupt, so we need a new group of enlightened witnesses where people can confess and not be judged and certainly not be reported for it. What do you think, Trace?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we kind of have that thing with each other, you know, and I'm finding more and more people doing that. Find people of like mind, and we start telling them things, because we can't hold all of our stuff in anymore. We need somebody to talk to. And ones who used to go to the church, and I think even they are seeing that, you know, that organization, whatever it may be, is not what you thought it was. So we're reaching out to each other. I look at that as a good thing.
Yeah. The people's way of doing it is non-authoritarian. It's being a friend, which is what we all need. We just need friends. So with that in mind, two people who were very good friends at the time, I imagine. I can't imagine anything else that they're doing that wasn't very friendly. So here's Peter and Kate. Welcome back to Ever Beyond. We are speaking tonight about purgatory. And not some kind of mythical Catholic place, but the experience that we've all been through. And I'm sure that if you just look back at your week, you've seen that you've probably been, you know, rather challenged. And I think that's part of it, that, you know, the resistance that we have will create the challenges that we've faced over the last week. And certainly, you know, I know from my own personal experience, that's what it's been like. It's been, this is my way of purging out my stuff, my trauma, my lack of skill, my karma, whatever this is all about. It's about setting something back into balance, because you can feel, you know, at this point we're being made to feel how out of balance it is. And that reminds me of that film, Goyani Scotsi. Did you ever see that one?
No. What's that one?
Koyaanisqatsi. All right.
I didn't see it.
It's it came out early 1980s, and it's a Hopi Indian word, meaning a world out of balance or a world coming back into balance. That process, it was a majestic film that had loads of images, and it starts off very slowly. The music's by Philip Glass, and it's got all these like monk-like sounds going. Koyaanisqatsi. Yeah, very slow music. And then you start to see little snippets, little vignettes of city life. And the music is going. Like a mechanical thing. And then when it goes back to the Grand Canyon, it's like Koyaanisqatsi. And so it kind of goes through this kind of. It's a bit like going through timeline one and timeline two on the looking glass. But that's how and right towards the end, the whole kind of thing climaxes. The music is by Philip Glass. It's very effective to give the distance and the grandiosity of the natural thing and the busyness and the neeliness of the of city life and the effect of human race on the planet. So recommended. But anyway, so the word Koyaanisqatsi comes from, or Koyaanisqatsi, let's say it in a proper way. It comes from the Hopi word, which means out of balance. Not heard of it yet?
No. See, there's one movie I haven't seen that.
Yeah, check it out. I'll just put the name in there. Chat room. Koyaanisqatsi. Great word. Anyway, so it had at the end of it the nine Hopi prophecies, which you may be aware of, you know, the ones with the sky will be crisscrossed with lines.
Yes.
You know that one, and there will be an iron spider's web across the land. That was the railway system. Yeah. So it's that whole thing, you know, snapping itself back into balance, and that's the process that we're seeing right now, isn't it?
Very much so. Yeah. We're seeing it every possible way. We can. Now, I've found that this week, just because I did my confession for the last 48 hours, you know, I'm exhausted by it, but I needed to release that.
It's good. So, will there be any record at all of your purgation?
Nope.
Damn it. I'd like to catch the replay.
I purged that completely. I did it, and then I got rid of it.
As is the way.
Maybe one day we'll talk about it, but I have to really consider that. And I'm not trying to be evasive. People are saying, oh, she's got this secret. It's just a very traumatic series of events that I hadn't remembered since I was a kid, and then saw recurrences of this event over and over again. So this one's going to take me a little bit. But it was good that I did talk about it, because someone who was listening actually had experienced that too and never spoke of it. Experienced it most of her life, like I did. And then she called me and said her story to me. So, you know, somebody got it.
That's all you need is, you know, it's like I was saying before, all you need is one enlightened witness.
Yeah.
Somebody who's actually listening to you. And not just listening to you and judging you, but listening to you and feeling it.
And feeling it?
Yeah.
Had experienced it before, and she had never told anyone, because of course, you know, you don't want people to lock you up, but you know, it was exactly the same things, exactly, And then we found out similar things about each other. So then we bonded. We found out same blood type, similar backgrounds, similar education, learning, not just from school, but the other things that I've learned through my journey. So by me coming out with this, there were several other people who said, you know, thank you for saying it. I've been wanting to say it for a long time, but I've been scared. So, me too.
And that's why you're doing it. This is why you're here, because you're initiating it. You're pushing, you're cutting that little tear in the piece of canvas, you know, so that everybody else can put their little tear in until someday the canvas can be ripped apart and expose what's underneath, which is, as Eva says, it's the slave trade. It's, you know, it's the human trafficking industry. And it traffics in humans from all levels, from down to up, you know, from, you know, dead bodies and cadavers to you know, aborted fetuses and all that sort of stuff as well. As well as, like, you know, children's homes and prisons and all those things in between.
And it has
to... Go ahead.
It has to be cleaned. And we have all these things that were done to us. And take any blame that anyone's feeling about themselves, that they screwed up their lives, that they didn't do the right thing and they had opportunities and didn't take them. Well, you didn't take them because it wasn't the time and there were things blocking you. You have to find out what those things are and make sure they're no longer in your life. And the only way you can do that is by taking a really good, hard look.
Yeah.
And scary.
Yeah, because you got to go back, and you know, I'm looking at all the times of how I thought, oh, I had a relatively uneventful childhood, and then I start thinking about the events that I had in my childhood. Well, actually, it wasn't that uneventful, but I've just kind of blanked it out because most of it was horrible. So, and it's because it started off really horrible and sort of just seemed to get worse. So. Really glad to have grown up, really, and moved out and started my own life. And that's what there's, you know, I think, oh, well, you know, it was a terrible time. And really, here I am, and I've found some lovely, beautiful people who are another kind of family. A family that I can feel comfortable with because they get me. You know, how many of us in our families put your hand up if nobody in your family got you? You know what I'm saying, Trace, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And one of the beautiful things about us human beings is when we can't deal with something, we have a system internally that will store that thing, that event, those series of events for us and leak them out slowly enough that we can deal with it. You know, they say God never does what you can't handle. I don't throw this one to God. I throw it to your own body knows when you're ready and presents them to you when you're ready for it. It's still tough looking at things that you've kept hidden, but it's, for me anyway, it felt so cleansing because it explained a lot of myself to myself.
And so you're better positioned to know thyself.
Yes.
And so this is the work.
That's the work.
So, I understand that you're tired and that a whole two-hour show may be a bit much because you were all ranted out. Bless your heart and lungs, and so Tracy, do you want to give everybody details on how they may hear your wonderful voice again, and other salient information about how to somehow give you money, or buy you a coffee, or get you a massage, or buy you a bottle of wine, or a pair of red shoes, or something like that?
Red shiny shoes. Well, you can hear me Monday to Friday on turtleislandnews.info, 12 till 2 Eastern Standard Time. And you can also hear me at 6 to 8 for Trace Elements. My news show is, I go all over the place, could be talking about anything. And yeah, there is a donate button if you feel the need. And there's a donate button here on Wolf Spirit Radio. And I know that it's heck of expensive. So if you can help, we always appreciate it. And know that if you do give me money, sometimes it's not going to the station. I'm buying something shiny. And that's how I roll.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you so much, Tracy. This has been it's been a lovely purging time with you. When you say, we can say we have walked side by side through purgatory. Excellent. So, thank you very much, and I'll catch you on the other side of whatever this is the side of.
Thank you, Jay.
Bless your heart. Thank you. Bye-bye. So, there was Tracy with one angle on it. If anybody wants to come in with any more. One of the things that I was wanting to talk about is this thing that I pulled up here. I was speaking to somebody this morning, and I brought up this page, and I thought, oh, what a really interesting philosophy that I'd like to speak on. And this is something that is known as RC, which is re-evaluation counseling. And it's a kind of people's counseling method. And what's the name of the fellow who came up with it? I can't remember his name. Oh dear, hang on. It'll be here somewhere. IRC. Anyway, it's Tim Jackins. That's right. So it's the International Reevaluation Counseling Communities, and it's something that has caused it basically it has informed my kind of tools of the mind, as it were, the way that I view the mind and the way we are on a kind of emotional blockage level, really, because this is what it's all about is the emotional blockages that we receive through trauma and distress that carries on after the trauma, and the idea is that you work in pairs, and you work with each other. So say you decided to work for 2 hours. 1 hour person A counsels person B, the second hour person B counsels person A. You know, it's a very fair egalitarian thing. Basically, if the theory is, if you give someone what they call good attention, it puts them in a position of feeling safe enough to discharge their distress. And that form of discharge comes in various ways, and various signals arise from this conversation. When the person being counseled is displaying certain behaviors, for instance, They call them distress patterns, and when you're speaking to someone, it often happens that they start fiddling with their hands. This is called a control pattern, and it's a result of the distress pattern, and that's what people do, you know. And you probably notice it yourself. You have to, if you're feeling distressed, you have to do something with your fingers. It's a substitute for doing something about it. That's why you get this urge to use your hands, is you need to handle something. If something's distressing you, you need to handle it and deal with it. And if you can't do that, then you have unexpressed dealing with this energy. That gets stored in these distress patterns, because, you know, that's what distress is the unexpression of that thing. So what we find is that when we start talking to somebody, and we, you know, we observe their body language and all these things, but the main thing is, and it's really quite, you know, it's very apparent and very effective, you'll see somebody and they're talking and they're, you know, they're holding in, and then you see they'll be doing something with their fingers. They'll be grabbing a tissue, they'll be folding it, they'll be, you know, fold, spindle, mutilating something. And at that moment, and this is where the timing comes in, because that is the moment when they are ripe to express. And at that moment, if you take their hand gently, and generally it won't be difficult to take their hand. That's what they're looking for. Their hand is saying, please take me. If you take their hand, they usually then start, and in the terminology, discharging the distress. And the discharge can happen in various ways, but the most obvious and the most common is in tears. Sobbing uncontrollably is usually the thing. And it's basically the same kind of thing that happens when your kids are coming back, when you're coming back from holiday, or you've all been to a day out, and the kids are in the back of the car, and they're going, nying, 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 and they're annoying each other, and it's just being really annoying. And you turn around and you say, kind of thing, and they start crying. That is exactly what needed to happen, because they felt safe enough to discharge some of their distress, and they used this opportunity as a moment to discharge some of that distress. So there's no point in hitting your kids when they get to that stage. Just let them cry. That's what it's all about. And there does seem to be a thing about, you know, it's bad to cry for men and women, or that women only cry when it's really bad, or you have to be strong and not cry. And I think that's these are ways that the military-industrial complex has kept us under their control, because all of those suppressive methods help to keep it in and not to discharge it and not to make people normal. Because when you carry distress, you haven't got all of your mind. You know, if you've got 30% distress buzzing around in your mind, it means you've only got 70% of your mind to work with. And most people are carrying around a kind of 60 to 70% distress level. You know, worries about this, worries about that, my mother, my father, my children, my aunts, my money, my house, my this, my job. All of the worries. Oh, will I be? And you know, mustn't drive too fast. Mustn't drive too slow. Mustn't do this. Mustn't do that. You know, all of those things are little points of distress, and they all add up. And this week, we've had the opportunity, due to some cosmic coincidence, of some kind of channel that joins the energy of the stars with the energy of the solar system, with the energy of the planet, which joins the energy of the countries and the energy of us, that is kind of pushing it all out from the inside out, and causing it to you kind of dribble out, squiddle out, ease out, squeeze out, all of the places that it could possibly do so. And so we will soon see another purge in the establishment. We'll probably see it in the United States this time. I really think there's going to be a major scandal that's going to it's basically going to lift the lid on the whole mafia-controlled military-industrial complex, government, entertainment industry. Let's throw in Monsanto and Big Pharma there at the same time. I'd like to see the end of that. I hope everybody would be. So anyway, how are we doing? Yeah. So I'm going to just read a couple of things from this this page, which is rc.org. Re-evaluation counseling views all human beings as inherently intelligent, cooperative, and good. We assume it is natural for a human to have good relationships with all other humans, to think well, to act wisely and successfully, and to enjoy life. In this view, every human being acts and cooperates well, except where patterns of emotional distress interfere. Then irrational behavior, negative feelings, and failure to cooperate or communicate replace the inherent human behavior. These distress patterns are the residue of physical or emotional hurts, many of them dating back to childhood, from which we have never fully recovered. We reenact them when something in the current environment reminds us of the earlier times of distress. The residual effects of past distress experiences could have been thrown off quickly and permanently at the time we were hurt, through the natural channels of emotional discharge, for example, crying, laughing, and trembling. After emotional discharge, a person's mind is able to think more clearly and re-evaluate what happened in the distressing incident. Instead, some of the social conditioning against emotional discharge carried by our cultures and rigidly inflicted upon us when we were children, for instance, don't cry, be a big boy, and so on, has interfered with and prevented recovery from our hurts, leading to an increasing accumulation of distresses and tensions. By the time we are adults, this has severely limited our original abilities to achieve good relationships with others, to succeed and to enjoy life. It also interferes with our collective progress towards a society that supports all humans to thrive in cooperative, respectful relationships. In re-evaluation counseling, we regain the natural ability to heal from hurt. The prime requirement for this is a listener and counselor who is sincerely interested, who will remain relaxed in the face of our tensions, and who understands how the process of emotional discharge operates. Many of our accumulated distresses result from societally imposed hurts that we call oppression. Racism is one example. Every adult in every present society has been conditioned through the imposition of distress patterns into functioning in both oppressed and oppressor roles. For instance, the same person can be both oppressed by racism and be in the oppressor role with regard to sexism. Oppression is neither inevitable nor inherent in human beings. It arises and operates only on the basis of distress patterns. No human being would agree to submit to oppression unless a distress pattern of such submission had been previously installed while the human being was hurting. No human being would ever agree to or participate in oppressing another human being unless a distress pattern had been previously installed. Once these patterns are in place, we are susceptible to acting irrationally and oppressively towards others, including people in our own group and even towards ourselves. For example, when racism has hurt people to the point where they unknowingly internalize it, they may demean and mistreat themselves and their own people. Individuals can be freed from the damage caused by racism and other oppressions through the processes of emotional discharge. This healing empowers individuals to engage in the organizing and struggle necessary for the elimination of racism from institutions and society. RC is currently practiced in 92 countries, and you may find information on www.rc.org. I hope you found that interesting, because to me that's the basis of my psychology, and the way that I operate in my personal accounts. I hope that it's actually had given some clarity on, you know, why people do what they do. I think it's all because of stuff. It's all distress. I am going to be joined by Steve Travesty. I'll see if he's ready. He wants to join me. And I'll see if he's ready so that I can bring him in here. And well, let's just call him anyway. Is anyone interested? Yes. Yeah. There you go, Steve.
Hello.
Oh, you're a bit quiet, mate.
Hold on. How's that? Better?
Much better. So,
how are you?
I'm very strange. I'm really strange. How strange are you this week?
Oh, I'm strange as always. Welcome to the Strange Club, my friend. I'd rather be strange.
So, you just messaged me and said you'd like to share some thoughts on current events. And you've had a few current events yourself, haven't you?
Everybody has events going on day by day. I mean, nothing. I wasn't thinking about talking about anything personal, but what are you implying?
Well, no. I presume that you've had some kind of experience this week along the lines of what I've been talking about earlier.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing you were talking about earlier, because you know. Often I'm interested in talking about, like, you know, global things that are happening, political things that are happening, so on and so forth. And it's just been interesting over the weekend, because you said, like, something, you felt like something was going to change again in the establishment. You felt it was going to be in the United States. Well, I that might be what's happening right now. You're aware of this 22 embassy shutdown.
No, 22, oh. Not 23.
23?
Not 23.
22, Boots has been saying 22.
Sorry, because there's always a 23, isn't there? You watch the news, as well as sci-fi programs, and this is giving you a clue that the news is as much news as sci-fi is. There's always a report that mentions the number 23 in every news report.
Interesting. Well, maybe the 23rd thing, actually, well, you could count the 23rd thing, because they're talking about 22 embassies throughout North Africa and the Middle East, basically our entire stronghold in the Middle East, plus there's something going on in Islamabad, Pakistan, that they are alleging. For the most part, this has been being reported by CNN. Fox News has been mostly interested in things like the NSA scandal and other kind of like more domestic political issues, but CNN has been kind of spearheading this issue going on with the embassies. And I'm looking at it, especially when they show you the map spread, 22 embassies over the kind of terrorist scare they're giving the same amount of emphasis as every other kind of BS, like, oh, hearsay, there's going to be terrorism today. And they're going to be closed for a whole week. I think that them saying it's going to be a terrorist attack is mostly just a distraction. I think that there's a management shift happening this week, because it looks like we've just lost control of the Middle East officially. If we can't guarantee one embassy in that region.
And is control in the Middle East a good thing for the United States? That's a good question. And don't answer that. I'd like to leave that as a rhetorical question. Is, you know, why do people have their fingers in other people's pies? What's the deal there? And perhaps we shouldn't. Perhaps that's something that, you know, you got domestic issues. You don't go around beating other people up, eh?
I think the whole reason why the Middle East has always been important is because it is the most convenient economic way to travel to the East. It's and nobody wants these various Middle Eastern entities for all the various, mostly esoteric reasons that are hidden from us, from gaining the power of the benefit of being that trade route. They're getting the economic benefit of saying, you have to pass through us to do business. Therefore, we're going to charge you whatever amount we deem just and fair, and you're just going to have to deal with that. And I believe that's the main reason why we've always had such wars in the Middle East, is because you want to build a train through there, or some sort of a trade route, or something to that effect, because you want to have direct deals with the Far East.
Well, there's always the Pacific.
Yeah, and the Pacific is that isn't very convenient for Europe. And also, if you're talking about lots of major goods, it's still much, much more economic to ship things by train over the ground than it would be to put them all on a big tanker or something. Especially an oil, if you're talking about oil and an oil tanker, because of the risk, at the very least.
So, you still there, Steve?
I'm still here.
Oh, yeah, sorry. There was that kind of slightly clipped end that sounds like Skype has just dumped everybody. So, in your personal life this last week, have you experienced any form of, let's say, stressful episodes that kind of spill over, that have kind of maxed out? What's the word? Melted down?
Honestly, not in particular this week. I mean, in general, I've just been dealing with a lot of things because, you know, the local government has put a little bit of pressure on me because, you know, I've got major inconveniences in my ability to travel because of the extortion that we call the traffic laws in our country. Things such as, oh, you need to have X amount of money to pony up to these various entities in order for you to drive without us giving you a problem about it.
Ah, the common law right to travel. Yes, I have the same. I have very similar issues with my local magistrature, and they're going to get £200 this week, and they can like it and lump it. You know,
they're not saying they're infringing on my right to travel. Although, you tell me how you reasonably travel in this modern day, in the way our societies are structured, especially if you live in a more metropolitan area, without a car. And how do you travel without a car, without laws that say, hey, you gotta register that with us, you gotta put one of our ID plates on it, you gotta run around with an ID on you, And we're also gonna bully you to make sure that the insurance companies get their due.
Well, let's just deconstruct that a little second now, because you know it's a bugbear of mine. The common law right to travel. Yes, we all have that, and driving around in vehicles is all very well. But I just want to use it for traveling around, for, you know, traveling in my conveyance. And I want to I don't want to be a commercial enterprise necessarily when I'm doing so. So why should I follow your commercial wars? It's all about commercial and civil and all this stuff. And basically, to be honest, Steve, all they want is money. And if you start going in there, you know, I'm not going to go in there, you know, giving them all this stuff about law and common law. I already told that to the police. when they confiscated my car, I gave it them. They received it. I might try and find the actual archive, because the day that I did it, it was midsummer last year, and the day that I did it, I spoke about it on the radio, and I gave a full disclosure of what happened and all the things that they said and all the things that I said, and it was very funny, because every time they tried to bully me, I would reflect back what they were actually trying to say. You know, so for instance, she says, "Well, we're going to confiscate your car." Like, you know, confiscate. So you're going to steal my car? No, we're not. We're confiscating your car. No, you're stealing my car. No, we're not. We're confiscating. Look, when you take something from somebody else without their permission, that's called stealing, isn't it? Yes. Well, you're stealing my car because I don't have you. You don't have my permission. And everything that she said, I was bouncing back, and I was very friendly. It was very humorous and light, but at the same time, you know, I was making them personally responsible. I was making them aware of exactly what they were saying and doing and the responsibility that they were having. And since then, I have had no car and still very little money. But you know what? What it's done is it's caused me to be here a lot, because there's nowhere else to go, because, well, I could go out, but it would cost me money, and I haven't got money, so, and I've got, you know, I can support myself here, and, you know, I can, there's plenty to do here, so why go anywhere? And that's been, you know, I've hardly left the house in the last 6 months. I am capable of leaving the house, and I do sometimes leave the house, but most of the time I don't. So you could see it rather than rail against it. Like I was saying with Tracy earlier, you know, there may be advantage in flowing with the energies. So if you have no car, well, there's the universe telling you to sit still, contemplate. What do you think of that, Steve?
Although there is truth in that statement in and of itself, at the end of the day, they stole your property, and that's forced you to change your behavior. But at the same time, I don't think it's always about accepting that. Because I don't believe anything will change otherwise. I mean, at the end of the day, in your heart, if you know that they were in the wrong for doing that, then there's something you got to do about it.
Well, here's the thing, Steve, because that morning I woke up and, you know, I've been practicing manifestation. So that morning, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be nice to have a new car? Because I was going to get rid of that vehicle in a week or so anyway. It was on its last legs. I mean, it really was. It was a heap. And that's why they stopped me, because look at that heap. Look, let's follow that heap. Oh, look. And they just radioed Nick HQ, and it came up with all these little flags. So they said, that, you know, excuse me, sir, is this vehicle insured? And I said, no, because I was absolutely rock solid, 300% honest with them. And that really threw them. It really, really threw them. My absolute candor and honesty and truthfulness was, you know, impeccable at that moment For some reason, I felt that I had the force of God shining through from the clouds down into my skull. I really did, because it was like I was speaking absolute truth. And they really couldn't cope. At the end, because, you know, there was other point too, where she was like, give me those keys. I was like, what? Excuse me? would you mind being a little more... You know? And I went like, no. And I, you know, put the keys back in my pocket. And I said, give me those keys. Are you ordering me? I'm ordering you to give the... You understand that? If you order, then you get the bill. Yeah. And so there's all these little things. So eventually, you know, through our conversation, they did take the car. And I said, you know, don't bother. I'm not going to want it back, because I was going to get rid of it, and you're doing me a favor by taking it away. So it's all kind of worked out. I got a £200 fine. Actually, it's more like £500, but £200. The whole thing is a lot less than the amount of insurance, tax, and MOT that I would have paid had I done the whole thing legally. Now, I know that's not very thing to say on the radio, but there you go. That's the way things are. I'd still say a result, wouldn't you, Steve?
It resolved for you. If that were to happen to me, it would be far more devastating. I really have needs to use that mode of conveyance, my vehicle, you know, for travel, and it would not work out. It would not work out favorably for me. So, you know, and that's the way it is for a lot of people. And for you, it happened to work out that way. But I think that there's a larger problem that it would be for the majority of people, because the people are fighting to change these things because they're sick, you know, because they're sick of them. And I think that there's a general agreement that even though these things can be turned in your favor, they are still inherently fraudulent, inherently evil, and need to end. And that's not going to happen unless we give them a reason to stop doing it, or we force them to stop doing it.
Well, here's the thing.
Studying the law now so hard, you know, on our stations.
That's true, you know, but here's the thing. It's all very well knowing the law, but you got to know that behind the courtrooms and the corporation that is the courtroom, there is a pedophilic network that is predatory, self-preserving network of energy vampires. And that's the problem. That's what we call the cabal. That's the problem. If we can expose these beings and purge them, which I hope this period of time is that moment when this is going to happen. You know, I really feel this is something that has to happen really, really soon. Because there's no point in trying to make a new future until we can finish the old past. And that's what will do it. And all these injustices will drop through the net. Sorry, Steve, go on.
I'm saying, I believe that this is going to be the year that, you know, the major shift is going to happen. And things like this embassy shutdown are evident of it. I've been paying a little bit more attention to the American Kabuki blog site recently. That's actually been showing some really, really interesting information that is very promising about what's going to happen in the next month or so. Brad Olson, who was just recently on my show, he said that August could be a timeline convergence month. And that this could be the month that it all goes down. Events are supposed to go into effect on September 1st, because various people in the United States government are stepping down September 1st. A decree made by the Pope goes into effect September 1st that makes all Roman citizens accountable to the law, and corporations and heads of corporations and heads of state are all under Roman Curia, therefore Roman citizenship, and this includes judges and the Bar Association. So all these so it's quite possible that all these entities that have been immune of criminal prosecution may no longer be immune as of September 1st, and that's what is being suggested here.
Well, my cynical side says they'll probably all be in the bunker by then.
Well, but as a cynic, not do that.
Yeah,
but you know, optimistic side.
I have a pessimistic, cynical side, and I have an optimistic, rainbows and unicorns side. I say,
Jake, I'm more of a half full glass kind of guy. Come on, give me the good news. Give me what you think's good that's going to happen. This is a convergence of the timelines.
Well, convergence. I tell you what, you will be more than you are today in 2 months' time. You'll have challenged. You'll have been challenged. You'll be stronger. You'll be wiser. You'll be more capable. Because you've been through challenges. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
That's how they tricked us into this, you know. Oh, come to the Earth. It's going to be a really good gig. Yeah, right. So... I'm going to play some Roger Waters of it. I'm going to play The Tide is Turning, because it really feels like that. Steve Travesty, thank you very much. Do you have you have your own show, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Do you want to tell and share your details?
Yes. It's on Rev Radio, Revolution Radio. It's Studio B at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. That's Eastern Standard Time. I should be having Billy Hayes on as my guest, and we're going to do an anti-Joe Rogan Questions Everything episode, because they really tried to make him look stupid on the show, and it was wrong.
Who were we talking? Who was I talking with about that? I think Rebecca and I were talking about this the other day, about... how disappointing Joe Rogan was, and you know, how disappointing Jesse Ventura became after he had the visit. You know, everybody. You know, how Love Police. Long story. Steve Travesty, thank you very much. It's been fun speaking to you. I'll catch you later. Are you doing Evolution Show?
Absolutely.
All right. Catch you later, mate. All right. Good night, everybody. Purgatory. Now you feel the energy of purgatory. You know what I'm talking about. We're all going through it. And no one going through it greater than the great society that we belong to. Very soon it's going to look like the world is vomiting. I'd say just take a step back. Maybe take a deep breath before you see it. When you see it happening, you know, sort of hold your breath, because it doesn't... anyway. On that note, enjoy the week. I'll see you next week. We'll see how far we've gone in our process. No doubt Frank will be talking about some of these events, as well as Planet X, and whether they're connected. Are they connected? Who knows? I'll see you on the other side of the break. This is Wolf Spirit Radio, a listener-supported station. Please press the donate button.